Nation, Manx Radio.
Moramai, good morning. This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service.
Manx Radio.
Ways to pray would be the theme that draws together the three guests on today's programme. For the last few years, Reverend Alex Brown has been pioneering new ways to pray, and it all takes a big step forward later today. Richard Gamble is dedicating his life to creating a massive Christian landmark linked to prayer. And Daisy has a story that's a reminder that even when the answer to our prayer is no, that answer may still be what is best for us. But first, let's start with some music from the St. Michael Singers. Glorious things of thee are spoken. The St. Michael Singers with John Newton's words, "Glorious things of thee are spoken." Around 3 years ago, Reverend Alex Brown began working as a pioneer minister in Douglas. Alex's ministry was aimed entirely at people who'd either never attended a church or who'd tried it and left. He set out to have conversations, to learn the stories of people of all ages, not in church buildings, but wherever they were, from coffee shops to parks, promenades, schools and sports halls. And now Reverend Alex joins us again to take up the story of those conversations.
Yeah, we did have those conversations. It was over 100 conversations over a year. A lot of coffee, a lot of cake. It's developed my little vicar tummy quite nicely. And we talked about exactly those questions. Where do you find you engage spiritually? And 90% of people said outside. But people who were Christians and weren't Christians could all answer the question, where do you engage spiritually? What does church do well? What does church do badly? I asked those kind of questions. And from there, we kind of pieced together, how can we engage with the Bible? How can we pray? How can we be authentic community in ways that are sometimes non-linear and non-traditional and that fit with a 21st century lifestyle? It's really important for me that what we're not doing is saying that traditional church doesn't work. There's about 2 billion Christians across the world, most of whom engage with traditional church really well. So clearly, something's working very well for about, 2 billion people. But that leaves a lot of billion who either have never encountered that or have said no. And on the Isle of Man, it's not like 1 in 4, is it, on the Isle of Man? It's more like 1 in 10 or 1 in 12 people who engage in traditional church well. But I think we've said from the last census that 50% of the Isle of Man would call themselves Christian. Well, there's not 50% of the Isle of Man going to church. So how can we engage with those people? That was my brief.
Now, you always said that when you had talked to people and listened to people, more particularly asking the questions and carefully listening to their response, you said that you would then see what you could offer. And you described a church that was like all kinds of different rooms doing different things.
Well, we called them keel rooms. We asked all of the people who were engaging with us, what should we call these different expressions of what we're doing? And one guy came back to us and said, I think we should call them keels, because keel is an old Manx word for an ancient place of worship. And our understanding of ourselves is that we are the living bricks. And when we come together, in either online or physically, we form a spiritual room. So each one's called a keel room, which we really like. There's one called Generations. That's got a number of families, a small number, maybe 5 or 6 families who are engaging together in that. COVID hasn't helped, I have to say, but they're still engaging online as well as physically. Then we've got one called Saturday Soul Keel, which meets in the Bohemian Cafe on Victoria Street every other Saturday. That would have, well, last week we had 17 of us all gathering together, and there was a couple of people not there. So that's nice. We've got one called Adventure Church. An adventure church, you just can't put a number on. So sometimes we've done adventure church. Let's be outside in a forest and make a massive camp in the trees and all talk about God around some food and stuff like that. And sometimes there'll be like 50 people there. Other times, just us leaders and no one else turns up, depending on weather and time of year. So adventure church has got like a big online following, and then different people will turn up to different things. And then we've also got one called Breathe, which is a creative arts space, which is just what it feels like. So it's space to slow down, to stop, to hear and engage with some music and a meditation of some kind and do something creative. And it's all about the relationships and the discussion that happens. And I think there's about 30 involved in that. So it's like we've got 4 different transient congregations, some of whom have got some crossover between the different things. But the idea of the church really is that you find where you fit and you go there.
So you really have truly done what you said that you would do at the outset of this pioneer ministry. So what is the significance of the commissioning that's going to take place in Nobles Park? The bishop is going to lead it. It's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What's the significance of that, Alex?
I'm glad you asked. So coming up to this point, what we've been doing has been an experiment, really. We've been given some time very graciously. All of my time has been given to it for the last couple of years so that I can see if it's going to work. And the bishop and the leadership team have now decided, yes, it is working. And because we've got people who, a lot of people now who would say, Pioneer is my church. So it's not like I go somewhere else and Pioneer's like a top-up. Some people have never been to church. Some people haven't been to church for years. And they are now calling what we're doing their primary way of expressing their worship. So that gives us legitimacy as a real church. So the bishop has signed what's called a bishop's mission order, which means that we are now legally a church entity. So that's what this is about. The bishop is going to formally commission us. He's going to pray for us. We're going to celebrate where we have been and look to where we could be.
Is it open to everybody, the commissioning this afternoon?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And there'll be cake. So it's 3 o'clock at the bandstand in Nobles Park. If by any chance it's tipping down with rain, which it may well be, we've got the community room at the Talk of the Town. So that's where all the cakes will be anyway. So go there.
Excellent. And then if people want to find out more, if people say, yeah, that sounds like me, is the website the best place to go?
Everything. You can see everything from the website. Our Facebook page is on there, how to contact me. You can email me there. You can get my WhatsApp number on there. So the website is pioneer.im. So www.pioneer.im. And you can contact us in any way you want to through there.
Alex, have a great time this afternoon. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore yours. Never let my heart grow cold. Yours and yours alone.
Music from Dave Bilborough. And before that, I was talking with Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown. And looking at the forecast for this afternoon, I think his commissioning probably will be indoors in the community room in the Talk of the Town in Nobles Park. And as Alex said, his commissioning is open to everyone. He'd love to see as many people there as possible, and that's this afternoon at 3 o'clock. In a couple of years' time, there'll be an extraordinary piece of artwork rising up across the landscape in the Midlands, in a spot that's close to existing major traffic routes where around 500,000 people will see it every week. It's the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer, and the man who founded it, Richard Gamble, joins me now. But what kind of a man sets off on such a huge and challenging project?
I think I'm just a bloke who 18 years ago felt God gave him an idea to build a national landmark. And I've had 10 years of praying about it, and then I've been working on it for the last 8 years. So,
well, let's just press pause on that. So God gave you an idea. Have you always been a person of faith?
I sort of encountered God, I suppose I'd describe it, when I was 10 years old. Wasn't brought up in a Christian background, but overheard my mum might be ill, so sat by my bed and prayed for my mum and just felt that God was there. So I'd always believed from that point onwards.
So God gave you an idea to build a national monument. Come on, tell me more.
So we are going to build on the edges of Birmingham a giant infinity loop. And if you imagine sort of like a figure of eight that twists and it rises 50 metres into the skyline, which is about 2.5 times the Angel of the North. And what's special about this is that it will be made up of 1 million bricks. And every one of those bricks will represent a story of answered prayer. So people will be able to come and visit, and then using technology, they'll be able to point their phone at any one of the bricks, and then their phone will light up and it will tell them the story of prayer that that brick represents. So it is a way for us to communicate that God is eternal and that he's always listening and he answers. Not always the answers that we want. That's our reality in our walk, but he is there listening. And it's a way to just encourage people to think about praying. Life is so busy, isn't it, that we don't give ourselves much space to think about things. And it's very interesting that since the pandemic, more and more people are thinking about prayer. So I think the timing of this is about right.
How are you going to get those stories?
Well, we are asking the public to send them in, and we are getting those from all over the world. I think we've had 76 countries send them in so far. And, you know, we need stories from the British Isles. I think we need 850 stories from the Isle of Man. We've worked out exactly how many we need. And we're asking people just to go online, go to eternalwall.org.uk and just share their story. And they can write that in up to 500 words, or they can upload a video or upload audio. And I think the exciting thing for me in this project is that in 100 years' time, people may not be using phones. I mean, goodness, we don't know what they'll be using, but they'll be able to read that story that you've shared, and maybe that will help them find the God who answers.
How on earth are you going to actually do it? How are you funding it?
Well, there's many times when I think on this journey, how on earth are we going to do it? But we've seen just incredible roller coaster journey, really. We've got planning permission. We got that a year and a bit ago. That in itself, we believe, is a little miracle. We've had an incredible miracle where somebody's given us the land, which is worth seven figures. That was amazing. And so we're funding it in different ways. Some people are donating, but also people are donating their skills and their services. You know, so the planning barrister gave his time for free. We've had engineers and architects and all sorts, you know, sort of donating their time. And the plan is now we've got to the stage where we've got enough to start building, and we'll be starting our investigations on the ground within a few days, and we'll complete in late 23, early 24.
Can you make the structure bit by bit, or do you have to go and do the whole thing for it to hold together?
What we're going to do is we're going to build it all in one. So it's 96 pieces that will be built off-site. We'll deliver it to the site, connect them all up, and then lift it all up in a few days. And we expect when we open that we'll have about 200,000 stories. So we will light it up just to the extent that we've got those stories. And so in that way, it's more of a living monument, and it will grow with light as we reach the million.
Do you just intend that it will just be there, or would you like to see it being a gathering point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're expecting lots of visitors to come. We'll have some gardens there so people can look at all the stories, and they will, the app will basically guide them round a bespoke journey which is more set to them. So you can type in whatever storm of life you're going through or whatever interests you, and then the app will guide you around so you can read stories that matter most to you. And then we'll have some gardens where people will be able to sit and reflect and think about what they've seen.
It's really interesting that you can have a bespoke journey around it, because we all come to prayer with a different need. So the idea of a bespoke prayer journey makes it quite special in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. And some of the stories are instant. You know, we had one lady who was a single mother, and she was praying for food for her family, and she was going through the Lord's Prayer, and she got to the bit, give us this day our daily bread, and she said bread, and the doorbell went, and there was a guy from a supermarket saying that a delivery had been cancelled next door. Did she want this food for free? So some of them are immediate. Some of them people have prayed for decades until they felt God answer. And some of them, the stories are fascinating and inspiring in a different way. People have prayed, but they've lost what what they thought God could help them with. But their journey of understanding who God was is what they've come out with at the end of the story. So we don't want to sort of paint the picture that every time you pray to God, he says yes. We want to give a whole range of experience and try and explain to people that, you know, God is there and he wants to have that relationship with us.
And it does, as you said at the beginning of this conversation, refocus on prayer. Now, I've got to ask you, your own prayer life, what's it done for your own prayer life? Working on this, as you must be doing all the time, have you felt a change in your own prayer life?
Yeah, a massive change, because what we're trying to do, I think, is impossible, or at least, you know, it's been difficult and improbable at times. And because of that, I realised that myself and we have a team of 20 people, we just can't do this on our own. So we have to depend on God. And so what that has meant is that I give more time to praying than ever before. And because I don't really have any options. That's the only thing I can do. And, you know, we will have a list of incredible stories to share when this is built of different things that God has done to help us along our way.
Just remind me, please, of the web address so that people can go and look more about this, because I certainly want to look more about it and I'm sure people will.
eternalwall.org.uk.
Richard Gamble was talking about the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer that he's creating in the Midlands. And I'd encourage you to take a look at the website, eternalwall.org.uk, for pictures, a timeline, and lots more information, including the section where, as Richard explained, you're welcome to add your story. Daisy added her story, a story of answered prayer when the answer was no.
Hi, I'm Daisy, and this is my story of answered prayer. So I was studying at university to become a paramedic. I'd just finished my first year, and on the surface, my life was really perfect. I had lots of friends. I'd found a really good church at uni, and I was just loving the uni lifestyle. And then one morning, I woke up, and I was really confused. My head really hurt, and I was a little bit scared, and the whole day was a bit of a blur. But next thing I know, I was in the hospital, waking up to doctors telling me that I'd had a seizure. And I didn't really know what this meant, so I prayed for clarity. I asked God to tell me why this was happening, so that I had a diagnosis with something. And then after a few weeks of tests and appointments with my neurologist, I was diagnosed with epilepsy. God answered my prayer of asking him for clarity. This diagnosis was really devastating for me. It meant that I had to drop out of university because I couldn't be a paramedic anymore. So I lost my identity and my purpose. It also meant that I couldn't drive anymore. So I lost my freedom. And I just prayed to God and I asked him to heal me if it was his will. I also asked him to give me clarity as to why this was going on. I didn't understand why me. Why was I diagnosed with epilepsy? Over the following weeks, I carried on having seizures and God said no to my prayer of healing. He still answered, but his answer was a no. And that's okay. I learned what my priorities were in life, that I didn't prioritise a job or a career or having money, but I prioritised having a relationship with him, and that was what was important. I learned from this answer to prayer that God is in control and I'm not in control of my life, but he is. A Bible verse that really encouraged me at this time was, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus doesn't promise us a carefree or easy life, but he has overcome the world. His will is greater than my will. And my identity and purpose isn't found in uni, it's not found in a career, but it's found in him alone.
Thank you to my guests today, Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown in Douglas and Richard Gamble, founder of the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayer. And don't forget, if you'd like to post your story of answered prayer, you can do it via the website eternalwall.org.uk. And we finish now with our usual look at our notice board, and I'm afraid we're starting with another cancelled service. Due to the bad weather forecast for later today, it's been decided to cancel the Mariners service that was to have been held in St Mark's Church this evening. But all being well, the next Mariners service will be on Sunday the 6th of March in Kirkchrist, Rushen. But I'll remind you about that again near the date. But no Mariners service tonight in St Mark's. On Tuesday this week, there's a coffee morning in Port St Mary Methodist Church from 10 until 11:30. And on Thursday, it's time for tea at 3. Afternoon tea in the lounge in Balligarry Chapel. It's on Thursday afternoon at 3:00. There's a coffee morning in St Thomas's in Finch Road, here in the heart of Douglas, every Friday from 10:30. And this Friday evening, St Thomas's Church, young people and friends are presenting a fashion show. It's in the church this Friday, 25th of February, and it starts at 7:00. Outfits shown on the catwalk will be purchased at local charity shops. Tickets are £10, including a buffet supper. And all profits will go to the Christian Aid Afghanistan Emergency Appeal. The compere for the evening is Christine Sutcliffe. And the Sulby Scarecrow Festival and Trail starts this week. A fun event, specially for half term, hosted by Sulby Methodist Church with support from village families, nurseries and Sulby School. It's from Wednesday the 23rd to Sunday the 27th of February. Sulby Methodist Church will be open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday, where you can purchase your trail guide that costs just £3. Use the trail leaflet to find the scarecrows around Sulby. Refreshments will be available each day in the church, along with extra activities for the children. And there's a raffle too. It's a great family event. And that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back later, so do please join me if you can, tonight at 9:00 for Sundown, a rich mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got items for the notice board. My email is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week, and a very good morning.
Make my will forever be.
Manx Radio.